Hi, and welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It's Dylan and James, kind of an emergency episode, although we figured we were going to have to do this with the lockdown impending. We're just here. It is late Sunday night, actually technically Monday morning at this point, because we were attempting to wait out the Max Scherzer sweepstakes, but given it's now 12:30 in the morning, we figured it's time to just hit record. And if Max Scherzer messes us up, then thank you, Max Scherzer. Hopefully it's with the Mets, and I will be completely fine with that happening. I know James was hoping that didn't happen. James, before we hop into the free agencies that did actually happen, any up-to-the-minute thoughts on Max Scherzer?
I think he's a Met at this point. Declare it. I think all Mets fans should celebrate. And I hope we have another Trevor Bauer situation where the Mets fans get their hopes up. And, you know, we all know how that ended. So, yeah, Max Scherzer's a Met. I'm proud to report it on this podcast. And, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Right. Well, then I guess one guy that did sign, and this was sort of the, if the Mets didn't land Scherzer, they were going to go after this guy. Instead, he said, whatever, I'm going to be the first one to sign. Kevin Gausman is with the Toronto Blue Jays. 5 years, $110 million. He now goes in rotation with Hyunjin Ryu, Jose Berrios, Alek Manoah, and a bunch of other guys that could fit in there, Nate Pearson, Ross Stripling. Do you think the Blue Jays are now a legitimate contender in the AL East, or are they still a step behind the Yankees, the Rays, and other teams like that?
Well, you have to look at them losing Simeon to the Rangers. We'll get into that in a little. But, yeah, I mean, I think they've bolstered their staff, but now they got to get some guys behind the starters. I mean, the bullpen was obviously a weak spot for the Blue Jays all year last year. They literally just lost their second biggest bat in the lineup. So, I mean, it'll be interesting. It's a big plus, but also a big minus today for the Blue Jays. So yeah, it unclear to see. I think they'll definitely still be in the thick of the pack in the AL East, because there's four very good teams right now in that division.
And you did just mention it. Marcus Semien signed with the Rangers today, a big 7 years, $175 million. We'll focus on Semien first and then go to the domino effect on the other four shortstops. The Rangers, I assume, were probably not going to be as positive as the Toronto Blue Jays. The Rangers probably aren't contenders yet at this point. Is that correct to think?
The AL West is open. The AL West is more open this year than it will be in the years prior. So I wouldn't count the Rangers out of the AL West just yet to start the season, because the Astros will probably take a step back. Not a big one, but a small step back. The A's are obviously going to take a step back. And the Angels will be more competitive along with the Rangers, I believe. And the Mariners. The Mariners have been making a lot of moves too this offseason. So the AL West could start beating each other down this season, and I think there should be a very competitive AL West with the moves made by the Rangers today.
And I think part of that was that, okay, you signed Marcus Semien, and it proves you want to spend. What are you going to do next? Because Marcus Semien alone isn't going to propel the Rangers into a battle with the Astros. But as we saw later in the day, they signed John Gray, 4 years, $52 million. He's now going to be their ace, I guess, alongside Dane Dunning, maybe a bunch of other guys that could exceed expectations, Spencer Howard, AJ Alexi, something like that. They also acquired Cole Calhoun, which is another solid veteran, 1 year, $5.5 million. There is still the rumor, and if you want to address this and what this means for the shortstop carousel, the Rangers, despite signing Semien, are not out on Corey Seager, and they're not out on Trevor Story. Do you see them potentially getting a second one of those guys as well?
I do. I really think the Rangers could make a big splash and bolster their middle infield with two solid guys for the next 5 to 7 seasons. And, you know, open up a championship window for this Rangers team that hasn't been competitive since the early 2010s, you know, back when they made the World Series versus the Cardinals and that whole shebang happened. But yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say about these Rangers moves is it's really questioning, why would they trade Joey Gallo after in the middle of last year? You know, if they're going to go into this offseason, you know, Gallo had a lot of team control left. He wasn't a very expensive contract. So that's kind of one question mark I have behind this whole Rangers offseason, would be to look at last year's move to get rid of Gallo.
And it wasn't like they got a star-studded prospect that you could argue for. So instead, they sort of went out of their way. They got someone that isn't that amazing in exchange for him. I think it was Glenn Otto and maybe a couple other prospects. So who knows about that? But
yeah, I just think that was an interesting move to complement the big moves they've already made so far this offseason.
And I guess a couple other minor moves that happened today. obviously, whenever the Rays touch a starting pitcher, you think, oh, God, they're going to turn him into magic. And that's exactly what happened with Corey Kluber today. Signed a one-year, $8 million deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, I don't think anyone's expecting him to turn into Cy Young Corey Kluber. But especially as a Yankee fan last year, you saw the ups, you saw the no-hitter, but you also saw the downs and his injury prone. What do you think about Corey Kluber going to the Rays?
I mean, obviously, you know, the Rays have had that ability to turn, you know, mid-level starting pitchers into elite guys again. And, you know, the Rays are one of those teams where when they seek interest in a pitcher, that's just definitely a scary sight, you know, when they're going to go out. Especially, I mean, the Rays don't go out and sign guys to $8 million deals like very often. So, I don't know, this has the potential to be a very big upside signing for the Rays, and Kluber could play a big part in their rotation that will be getting Tyler Glasnow back next year.
All right, and we'll play, there are three minor signings that happened today. Well, I guess minor in quotes in that they're secondary to the moves that we've already mentioned, but they were pretty pennies. Marlins signed Avisal Garcia, 4 years, $53 million. I guess the Marlins are buyers now, unless they just figure this is more down the road, but good to have a veteran presence. The Angels signed Michael Lorenzen, who they've said is going to be a starting pitcher, but they might also let him hit a little bit, a la Shohei Ohtani, but to a lesser extent. And then the Toronto Blue Jays, we mentioned earlier, they did add to their bullpen. They signed Yimi Garcia to a two-year contract. Do any of those moves move the needle for you, or just sort of nice signings these guys have to sign somewhere sort of thing?
Yeah, I think, the Astros also added Hector Neris. I think the Marlins move is really the most interesting to me. You know, that the Braves just won the World Series, and they've shown that NL East is going to be very competitive. You know, basically the top three teams being the Phillies, the Braves, and the Mets, obviously. I mean, the Nationals are just the Nationals. They won't be very competitive. But the Marlins seem to be positioning themselves to make a competitive push either this year or next year in the division, especially with all the young prospects they have coming up the pipeline over the next few years. So I think it's a strong signing for them. Garcia was a great player for the Brewers this year, one of the few guys that provided offense for them over the course of the season. I think that move will really push the needle. I don't really understand the Angels wanting to sign Lorenzen to be a starter and to hit. I mean, that just sounds a little outlandish to me. I mean, you have Ohtani. I don't really see what the point of that is. And also putting Lorenzen as a starter, I mean, he was never really all that great out of the bullpen. So what is throwing him more innings going to do for your team? I think the Astros signing Neris. Interesting move to say the least. Obviously, they don't have the money to go get a big guy like Raisiel Iglesias or Kenley Jansen. I guess a solid signing for the Astros to bolster their bullpen that has that lost Kendall Graveman just a few days ago.
And John Heyman is now reporting. So see, we're not the only one still up at 12:45 in the morning. He's saying the Rangers are making a big push on Corey Seager now too. Seager wants to sign before the lockdown ends, but if the Dodgers don't land Scherzer and the Mets are trying hard to get him, it stands reason that the Dodgers could then allocate that money towards signing Corey Seager. So definitely keep an eye out on the domino effect of that Max Scherzer signing could lead to the shortstop signing. I think the only guy we can say with confidence isn't going to sign in the next few days is Carlos Correa. I'm pretty sure that's fair to say because I don't think anyone has said he's close to a deal. We've heard Seager rumors. We've heard Scherzer, we've heard Story, all that other stuff. Castellanos even gotten in the news that the Phillies and Giants are pushing towards him, which would be an interesting fit for both of those. I guess the only other thing that did happen today that we should mention is that Byron Buxton signed a 7-year, $100 million extension. So based on that versus the other long-term extension that we saw earlier in the week with Wander Franco going to the Tampa Bay Rays, which one of those two extensions do you like better?
I think that Buxton's extension is a great deal for the Twins. Low risk, lots of long contract, not a high average, you know, annual pay per year. So it's a tradable contract. It's a very tradable contract in three or four seasons. Buxton's been a fantastic player when he's been on the field. So hopefully he can stay healthy these next couple of years and provide a lot of great offense and defense for the Twins.
And I will say good for the Tampa Bay Rays for finally saying, you know what, this is our guy. we'll hitch our wagon to him and we're going to give him $180 million. Now, if Franco waited 5 years, or even if he waited till after the CBA negotiations, because who knows, they could all of a sudden say, you're a free agent after your fifth season, as opposed to your sixth or seventh season, or you're free agent when you hit a certain age. So maybe Franco might have wanted to wait a couple more months just to make sure. But I mean, if you're dangled $180 million in front of you guaranteed, that's a very hard offer to say no to when you're still not even legally allowed to drink. That's all I'll say about Wander Franco. And for the Rays,
I mean, I agree with you. It's a lot of money, but I think that's just, he's played 80 games.
Yeah.
I mean, we already saw that potential. I mean, he's just such a fantastic player, such a great hitter and such a great defender.
I'm surprised
Franco didn't bet on himself. You know what I mean? Like there, cause we're about to see Juan Soto get a massive extension. We've already seen other guys get humongous contracts. And I feel like we could see Franco getting one of those in 3 or 4 seasons if he hadn't signed this long-term extension already.
Yeah, now he's stuck. I believe it's 11 years, which will take him up to his age 32 season, which is not to say he can now dominate for the next decade and then become a free agent in 2033, which, by the way, the Mets will still be paying Bobby Bonilla his money when that contract expires. I know as a Mets fan, I've seen that all over the internet. And thank you for reminding me of that, that we're still paying Bobby Bonilla for the next 15 years. We greatly appreciate it. But Wander Franco definitely getting paid, definitely going to become the next face of the Rays. Don't tell me, oh, don't worry, in 3 years from now, the Rays will look to trade that contract. No, this is the Rays saying this is affordable enough that we can hold on to this guy to become the next cornerstone of our franchise and hopefully lead them to the American League East Championship for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I see him playing like a young Evan Longoria, like that type of player for the Rays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of superstar for them.
Someone that can
afford and someone that's good.
Refreshing Twitter one last time before we log out. It does not appear Scherzer has signed. Everyone's saying thank you to Steven Matz's agent for waking up the sleeping giant, which, I mean, kind of true. He dealt out $100 million since that whole Matz debacle. So rather than the normal sign in a trade that we normally do, you're just going to tell us, A, when do you think our next episode will be, because by the way, we will be recording an episode if Scherzer breaks or if Seager breaks or something like that happens. And B, where will Max Scherzer be playing in 2022?
Well, I mean, it's already basically official. Max Scherzer is a Met.
Oh, God.
Might as well buy the uniform on MLB.com right now. I'm just lock it in, punch the ticket. If I was a betting man, I would put all of my money on Max Scherzer to be a New York Met tomorrow morning. I know that makes you very scared, Dylan. And that's what I like about saying that. So, yeah, Max Scherzer, I guarantee this podcast, Max Scherzer will be a New York Met tomorrow.
We'll put this out there. James is the resident Yankee fan. I am the resident Met fan. He's definitely not saying this just to be a troll and just because of the whole Trevor Bauer thing from last offseason. But initially, I was saying maybe Scherzer is going to do the same thing that Bauer did in that, oh, you want to come to the Mets, but then you take that offer and you go to the Dodgers and say, beat it or at least match it, and I'm going to you. I don't know. Something, maybe it's just the optimism of a Met fan now over the last couple of days, but I think there's a legitimate chance. And if you go back to our episode from yesterday, which was a 20-minute recap on the Met signings, and we recommend you listen to that because we discussed Scherzer, Marte, Adam Frazier, and a bunch of other things there if you haven't listened to that yet. I was optimistic about the Mets signing Max Scherzer, and James and John, who we had on, and we thank John for coming on. We're like, there's no way they'll get Gausman, they'll get Robbie Ray. And I was like, there's a chance they get Max Scherzer. And you all kind of poo-pooed the idea. And 24 hours later, look where we are recording an emergency reaction to Max Scherzer almost signing with the Mets.
I didn't say it wouldn't happen or it couldn't happen. I just didn't think that's the best route for the Mets to go. Because now, once you sign Scherzer, I think the checkbook is closed. I think that you've really, like, you're not getting Baez. I don't know about that. You're not getting a Seager. You're not getting a Correa. You're not getting a big name like that anymore. I think, dude, you're pushing $300 million. You're pushing $275 million if you're signing Scherzer. So I really think that this would be the last big deal that you see from the Mets. They wouldn't be done, obviously, with relief pitchers and stuff. But I thought that maybe the Gausman size deal and go get Gausman and John Gray or Gausman and another starting pitcher so that you don't have Megill being your fifth starter or having to pitch Carrasco like 150 innings this season.
Hey, Tyler McGrom is going to be the next Jacob DeGrom. So I've been on that hype train for over a year now, and I'm sure Regis guys who have heard me say that over and over again are getting furious with that. But a rotation of Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, Taijuan Walker, Carlos Carrasco, and Tyler Megill, I don't think anybody is walking away with that complaining about having to start Tyler Megill. But maybe that's just me idealizing. But I'm not getting ahead of myself. We recorded one of these last year when Trevor Bauer said he was a Met, and we flipped out, and you can go find that audio. And then literally a day later, we had to come back and say, well, he's a Dodger. So I'm not getting ahead of myself, even though you've guaranteed to everybody that Trevor Bauer will be a New York, or sorry, Max Scherzer. See, I'm already mixing up the two. This is not a good thing. Max Scherzer is going to be a Met. I really hope you're right, but I also really think you're trolling. But we will see where this goes. One last Twitter search. There's no deal as of now. Andy Martino, don't do this to us. Someone just asked Andy Martino, is it safe to go to bed? Andy Martino's response, and Andy Martino is a pretty reliable source for as many of people who are like, oh, not a huge fan of Andy Martino. He clearly has ties to the Mets organization. He just said, the Mets hope to hear from Max Scherzer tonight. Scherzer's on the West Coast, and it's only 9:36 p.m. out there. So I guess it's still possible that something happens tonight. Well, I think we're going to hit end on this session, if you agree with me, James. And if all of a sudden, because I'm not going to sleep tonight with that news now, James, if you had a phone call from me in 2 hours, you know this is either going to be the happiest podcast ever or the most miserable podcast ever. But unless you got anything else to add for now. No, I'm getting a shaking head.
I think that that's great news as a Mets fan. You know, I think that that you're hearing that you won't even have to wait till tomorrow morning for a deal to be done. It'll be done tonight. So, if I was a Mets fan right now, I'm telling you, it's time to log on to MLBShop.com. Go put Scherzer on the back of your Mets jersey. Go pay $400 for your overpriced Nike jersey, and go celebrate the way us Yankees fans got to when we got Garrett Cole 2 years ago.
You know, alrighty.
The Mets have a thing. You know, they love to sign big names. They always get the big names. So I think this is just another classic Mets, you know, getting a big guy, big name, and making another World Series push like they always do. So congratulations to Mets fans. Congratulations on Max Scherzer. Can't wait for the battle to start in 2022.
We're either going to be fortune tellers or on freezing cold takes by tomorrow morning. But with that, for now, unless we have to record anything later tonight, but I think we won't. For now, the side is indeed retired.